here. And I've been working on a calendar for next year. And of course, it'll have, I've been here almost a year now. And so I've just kind of been writing down what we do and things like that. And so tried to plan out the whole next year. So we'll give out a calendar with all those dates on it. So nothing springs up on you, things like that. So working on that and got our theme picked out for next year. Obviously, this year's theme was Here We Grow, and I won't give it to you yet. And so forth. We'll give it out in January, our theme and so forth. But we've had a great year. I've been enjoying the ride and looking forward to the next year. I don't want to rush the Lord. I just want to take time, things like that. But counting myself and my wife, the Lord's given us 20 new members this year. And so praise the Lord for that. And that's a good thing, and so forth. And again, I know sometimes when you get more people, there's parking lots to argue over, parking spaces to argue over, but we're getting more. Amen. And then there's few areas to argue over, but let's not let the devil get involved in that. Let's just keep growing. And I'm excited about that and see what the Lord does for us the rest of this year and next year. And so hopefully the Lord blesses like He has this year. And so let's do our part to invite and do our part to grow, things like that, so God can bless our church in the future. All right, today's title is The Most Important Question Ever Asked. The Most Important Question Ever Asked. And those of you that caught it the first time, you're starting to think, what is the most important question ever asked? And those of you that got it the second time, hopefully by now you're saying, what is the most important question ever asked? And again, I've asked some important questions in my life. I ask my mom all the time, what's for supper? That's an important question. And there were some times that I was ecstatic about her answer. There were some times I was like, about her answer. And I knew my dad had the rule, clean your plate, boy, whatever she puts in front of you. You don't gripe, you don't complain, eat it, all that kind of stuff. So I get it. I remember asking Brother Hudson, if I could have his daughter's hand in marriage. That was a pretty important question. It took me hours to get up the nerve to do it. I had the ring in my pocket. It was burning the hole in my pocket. I wanted to give it to her. But it was just the coming up with asking him. That was an important question. And praise the Lord, he said yes. And praise the Lord, she said yes. And it's been a great ride since. But that was an important question. Now, some of that I might ask today is, what's for lunch? Again, we're going back to the food thing here. But we, questions are important. And those of you that have traveled with kids, you've heard this one. Are we there yet? All right, that's an important question. Because do I go back to sleep? Do I play another video game? Do I get a snack out? On the teen trip we just took, I heard lots of snacks being partaken of back there behind me. And Landon had, was it a 2-liter or just a 1-liter? I think it was just a 1-liter Coke, and it lasted almost the whole trip and things like that. And I may or may not have hit the brake several times when he was trying to take a sip of it and, giving him a little bit of a hard time and so forth, things like that. But they're important questions. What are we going to eat? Will you marry me? Those are important questions, great questions, things like that. But this is actually the most important question ever asked, and it's found in Matthew 27, verse 22. Matthew 27, verse 22. And Pilate actually asked this question. The man named Pilate asked this question, and he said, Pilate saith unto them, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? And of course, that's, in context, they were trying to have him crucified. I don't see anything wrong with him. I don't see what he's done wrong. What should I do? And of course, we know that it went on and they kept saying, crucify him, crucify him. But the question is, what shall I do then with Jesus? What shall I do then with Jesus? And all of us in here have had that question, maybe not in these exact words, but we've had that phrase or something similar to that posed to us. What will I do with Jesus? Again, the first time I heard the gospel story, I'd heard the name Jesus before, Christmas time, things like that as a little kid. But the first time I heard the gospel story was when I was 10 years old. And my Sunday school teacher put this question to me. What will you do with Jesus? What will you do with Jesus? And that was the most important question that I was ever asked. And praise the Lord, I answered it correctly that day. You know, I said, I want to receive Him as my Savior. And so the most important question ever asked, what will you do with Jesus? What will you do with Jesus? Let's have a word of prayer. Lord Jesus, thank you for this day. Thank you for the opportunity we have to serve you. Lord, thank you for our church. Thank you for every person that's in our church. Thank you for blessing our church this last year. We ask you to continue to bless us. Lord, help us all to grow closer to you. Lord, help us to please you with our lives. And Lord, so that you can bless us in Jesus' name. Amen. So, it was asked 2,000 years ago by Pontius Pilate, and it says here, it was recorded there in Matthew 27:22. What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? And a couple introductory statements here. We says here, far more depends on the right answer to this question than any other question in the world. What for dinner is pretty important. Will you marry me? More important. But more important than those two things is what will you do with Jesus? What will you do with Jesus? Everything that is really worthwhile in time and eternity depends on the right answer to that question. If one does the right thing with Jesus, which is called the Christ, he will get everything worth having in all time and eternity. On the other hand, if someone makes the wrong decision regarding that question, he will lose everything worthwhile for time and eternity. And so we see that it's an important question. Then a couple other statements is this. Millions upon millions have made the right decision on that question. From that day and time, even before that day and time, when they said the Messiah is coming, what will you do with Jesus? Well, they put their faith in what he was going to do, and they got saved. And then millions of people are enjoying the benefits even before heaven with doing the right thing with Jesus. But on the other hand, millions have made the wrong decisions and they're paying for it. Not necessarily just in hell, but even here in life. So we're going to look at a few things here. The benefits of making the right decision with what will you do with Jesus. And on the contrast, the consequences of making the wrong decision. So we're going to look at that real quick. So first of all, we see here, when you make the right decision on what will you do with Jesus, the first thing that happens is the forgiveness of sins. The forgiveness of sins. That was why he had to come, because there was a sin problem. Of course, God created Adam and Eve perfect to have fellowship with Him. And Satan came along and beguiled them and got them to sin. And sin separated that relationship with God and man. And so there was a problem. And so Jesus had to come and die and take care of those sins so that we could have forgiveness for sins. But if you do the right thing with Jesus, like Pilate should have, but if you do the right thing with Jesus, you will get the forgiveness of sins. If you don't do the right thing with Jesus, your sins won't be forgiven. So we see in Acts 10:43, it says this, to him give all the prophets witness that through his name, we're talking about Jesus here, whosoever believeth in him shall have remission of sins. So when we're posed, what will you do with Jesus if we accept him as our personal Savior? We will have the remission or the forgiveness of sins. Now, we see here the word shall have. Shall have. So if we do the right thing, the Bible says you shall have. Now, what I want to explain to you a little bit here today is our shall haves and God's shall haves are a little different. And I'm going to give you an example, and I think you'll understand it. If I said, I shall come to your house this Saturday and eat supper with you. All right, I might say, well, we haven't. All right, things like that. But anyway, but if I said, hey, I'm coming this Saturday night to supper with you, I probably would have to be invited first instead of just tell you, okay? But anyway, let's say, for instance, you said, hey, would you like to come to supper with me? I shall. I'll be there Saturday. And I said, I shall. I will. I'll be there. You can count on me. If food's involved, I'm there. All right? So we would see here that, let's say, for instance, in between now and Saturday, I would get a phone call and say, Uncle so-and-so or Aunt so-and-so or great-uncle so-and-so passed away, and the viewing's going to be here, and this is when the funeral is going to be, I would go. But I said I'd be there Saturday. Okay? And you would understand. Okay, I understand. Your great uncle passed away and you're going to go to the funeral. So I get it. So, but what I said would happen is not going to happen. So my shalls are not as the same as God's shalls. But the reason God can say, I shall, is because He doesn't have anything like that slip up on Him. I said I would be there Saturday to eat with you, but I had an unfortunate incident happen in my life and I had to not do what I said. That doesn't ever happen to God. So when God says, hey, you do the right thing with Jesus and you shall have forgiveness of sins, nothing's going to slip up on God and say, well, I really meant to be there. I really meant to give you forgiveness of sins, but because of this, I'm not going to be able to. No. When God tells you, I shall, He shall. And so praise the Lord for the forgiveness of sins. So, you see here, God's shalls never get interrupted. Why? Because He knows all, He sees all, and He's in control of all. So praise the Lord, when we do the right thing with Jesus, we have forgiveness of sins. So our forgiveness of sins depends entirely upon what one does with Jesus. Okay, not our prayers, not our performances, not our penance, not our promises. Okay, what happens to our sins directly and depends entirely upon what we do with Jesus. So when Jesus is there, all of our sins have been put upon Him. He's been given the right, or has the right, to forgive us of our sins. So it's not on our prayers. We've all heard that. You know, it's not what you pray that saves you. It's your belief in Jesus. And then we've all said, well, I'm gonna straighten up. I'm gonna walk right. I'm gonna not miss church. I'm gonna do this. That's not how you get forgiveness. You get forgiveness by what will you do with this Jesus? By accepting Him. So whatever else you may or may not do, if you do the right thing with Jesus, you will have forgiveness of your sins. So we look at that and we say, well, I don't deserve the forgiveness of sins. And it would be a true statement. But that doesn't matter. If you do the right thing with Jesus, you get forgiveness of sins. We would say, well, I don't understand forgiveness. And that might be a true statement. But it doesn't matter. You do the right thing with Jesus, you have forgiveness of sins. Here's another statement. I don't deserve it. You're right. I don't understand it. You're right. And we might even say, I don't even agree with the forgiveness of sins. You don't understand what I've done. You don't understand all the sins that I've committed. So I don't agree that I deserve to get forgiveness. And that may be a true statement. But it does not matter if you deserve it or don't deserve it. If you understand it or don't understand it. If you agree with it or don't agree with it. You do the right thing with Jesus, you got it. You got the forgiveness of sins. So, but if we have done the right thing with Jesus, we have to accept the forgiveness of sins. The Bible says in Psalm 32:1, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven. Again, I can't comprehend. I know I've sinned a lot. But if you talk about the 6 billion people that's on the earth now and all the millions and billions that's been before and all the ones that will be after us, He forgave everybody. He provided forgiveness for everybody. So blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven. So benefits of making the right decision on what we do with Jesus, number one, we get forgiveness of sins. We just have to accept it. Second thing we get is perfect peace. Perfect peace. Listen to what Isaiah 26:3 says. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. So just like the person that says, I'm a sinner, I don't deserve sin, I don't understand how God could forgive me, I don't even agree with the fact that God would give me. If you do the right thing with Jesus, you've got forgiveness. Same thing here. The Bible says that He, God, will give you perfect peace to what? What you've done with Jesus. If your mind is stayed on Him, you can have perfect peace. So we might not understand it, but if our mind is stayed on Him, we can have perfect peace. If we're going through something that's a tragedy, a heartache, a disappointment, something that we don't understand, but if our mind is stayed on Him, He will give you perfect peace. So we see, if we do the right thing with Jesus, not only will we have forgiveness of our sins, but we'll have perfect peace. Here's a contrast verse. The first verse was this, Isaiah 26:3. Thou wilt give him or keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusts in thee. Listen to this verse, Isaiah 57:20 and 21. But the wicked, And we could put in this wicked category, we could put the unsaved. We could put those that are not, their minds not stayed on Christ. We could put the backslidden. We could put those maybe running from God. But those people are like a troubled sea when it cometh, or which cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. So again, it's up to you, just like it's up to you to have forgiveness of sin or not have forgiveness of sin. What will you do with Jesus? Here, you can either have perfect peace or you can have trouble. What will you do with Jesus? If your mind stayed on Him, He'll give you perfect peace. If you're backslidden, unsaved, running from God, it says here, there is no peace. That conviction is going to be there no matter what. So today, when there are so many things that cause concern and worry, how wonderful it is to have peace. You see the news and you see stories about war and people dying and things blowing up. That's concern. That's like troubled waters. There's mire and dirt coming everywhere. But if my mind stayed on God, He's got everything under control. He's still God. This hadn't slipped up on Him. I can have perfect peace. He's going to take care of me. Right? And if I die, I'm just going to heaven. So praise the Lord. I can have perfect peace. It depends on what you do with Jesus. So we see here benefits of making the right decision on what to do with Jesus will bring us forgiveness of sins. It will bring us perfect peace. Here's one. It will bring us unspeakable joy. In other words, I can't even describe it. Just like a while ago, I don't get it. Why God would forgive me? I don't deserve it. I've done things that I knew were wrong and still chose to do them wrong. But He forgave me for it. I can have forgiveness of sin. Perfect peace. How can you have perfect peace when there's wars going on and there's crazy things going on in society? My mind stayed on Him. So I have perfect peace. Unless you have forgiveness of sin, unless you have perfect peace, you have no clue what I'm talking about. Why? Because I can't explain it to you good enough. Words cannot tell. Same thing here. Unspeakable joy. Why are you so happy? I can't explain. I'm saved. I got forgiveness of sins. I just have perfect peace in my soul. God is in control of everything. I can't explain that to you. It's joy unspeakable. 1 Peter 1:8. Whom having not seen, I've not seen God, but I love Him. Ye love Him, though now you see Him not, yet believing, ye rejoicing with joy unspeakable and full of glory. And we see that this joy unspeakable, it's like here, I have unable to speak about it joy. I'm going to say that again. I have unable to speak about it joy. I can't explain to you. I can say, hey, if you'll get saved, you'll get what I got. I can say, hey, if you'll just keep God in your first thoughts, all your thoughts, have your mind stayed on Him, you'll have perfect peace. If you'll just be right with God and do everything He wants you to, say everything He wants you to do, go where He wants you to, do everything He wants, you can have what I'm talking about. But I can't explain it to you. It's unspeakable joy. So, we see here in 1 Corinthians 2:9, but as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of man, the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. Just like we can't explain heaven, we got some little insights here. Streets of gold, gates of pearl, no death, no sorrow, no disappointment, river of life, Jesus, all of our loved ones. We do have a little bit, but the Bible says here, I have not seen, ear hath not heard, nor has it entered into our heart what all He's got for us. You can't overemphasize it. So just like we're talking about here, if you'll do the right thing with Jesus, you'll have forgiveness of sins. You'll have perfect peace. You can have unspeakable joy. When people see me, they see my facial expression. You know, are you up to something? Are you just happy? Probably both, if you know me, okay? But I understand. I can't explain to you how awesome God is. I can't explain to you how awesome the Christian life is. I can give you just little glimpses of it. I can say, if you'll just do this. But that's what He's talking about here. If you do the right thing with Jesus, all these things you'll have. Let's look at the next thing we have. Not only do we have forgiveness of sins, Not only can we have perfect peace and unspeakable joy, here's another one that we have. We can have eternal life. So just like when you tell an unsaved person, you can have forgiveness of sins. Well, you know, I don't really get that. You can have perfect peace in this world and day and time. Mm-hmm. You can have so much joy you can't explain it. What? Same thing. Eternal life. Well, how long is eternal? Right? As Buzz Lightyear would say, to infinity and beyond. I mean, it just goes and goes and goes and goes. You cannot put a time limit on it. Okay? Eternal life is forever. John 3:36. He that believeth on the Son, what will you do with Jesus? Believe on Him. You've got eternal life. John 5:24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on Him that hath sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come unto condemnation, but is passed from death into life. You will not see death. You will not see hell. You pass from that if you do the right thing with Jesus. So one who does the right thing with Jesus will live forever. I've made a lot of decisions in my life. Okay, what to eat, when to eat. Obviously, that's been a theme this morning. All right, who to marry, what to do. Made a lot of decisions in my life. But I made the right decision on what to do with Jesus. And that was the best decision I ever made. Okay? Praise the Lord for my wife. Praise the Lord when I push back from the table. Praise the Lord that I get to serve Him with my life. But we see here, if you'll do the right thing with Jesus, you can have all these things. I can't explain forgiveness of sins, but I have it. I can't explain perfect peace, but I have it. I can't explain unspeakable joy, but I have it. I can't explain eternal life, but I have it. So benefits on making the right decision on what to do with Jesus. Forgiveness of sins, perfect peace, unspeakable joy, eternal life. Here's another one. Becoming a son of God. And for you ladies, becoming a child of God. All right? Obviously, this is what happens when we do the right thing with Jesus. He forgives us of our sins, never to be brought up again. He'll give you perfect peace. He'll give you unspeakable joy. He'll give you eternal life. And He'll actually make you a child of God. How does that happen? Well, the Bible says, well, I've read them all too. But I can't understand it. John 1:12 says this, but as many as received Him, in other words, the people that did the right thing with Jesus, gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. So right now, 55-year-old for one more day, I'll be 56 tomorrow, all right? But I am a child of God. I am a son of God. Well, how? Because I did the right thing with Jesus. I can't explain it. But the Bible says when I received Him, He gave me the power to become the sons of God. So, I guess, legally speaking, on the paperwork in heaven, I guess, the Bible tells me I'm an heir of God. I'm a joint heir with Jesus. Everything they have, I got it. I got to go down in November to my dad's, going to the lawyer with him. He's getting his will prepared and so forth. And I'm the oldest, so that means basically I get nothing, but I'm in charge. I think that's what it means, okay? But anyway, so I get it. I understand. Legally, you need to do those kind of things. And I can't explain it, but the Bible says in 1 John 3:1, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. So not only can I not explain forgiveness, and I can't explain perfect peace, and I can't explain joy unspeakable, I can't explain eternal life, I can't explain that I am a son of God, but I am. Because why? I did the right thing with Jesus. Romans 8:17. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. Do the right thing and you will be an heir of God and joint heir with Christ. Do the wrong thing and you will lose the opportunity you have to be the child of God and have untold wealth. It's up to you. Of course, if you've asked Jesus Christ to save you, you got all this checked. On the right hand, or the right thing, we have forgiveness of sin. On the wrong thing, we'll pay for our sins in eternity in heaven or hell. Do the right thing, we'll have perfect peace. Do the wrong thing with Jesus and you won't have any peace. Do the right thing and you'll have unspeakable, unexplainable joy. Do the wrong thing and you'll have sorrow. Do the right thing and you'll have eternal life. Do the wrong thing, you'll have eternal death. Do the right thing and you'll become a child of God. Do the wrong thing and you will not become a child of God. Here's another thing that happens when we do the right thing with Jesus. We become justified. Justified. And of course, there's little phrases to go along with it. There's some verses again. But I can't explain justification. The Bible says in Romans 5:1, therefore, being justified. God said so. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And again, I've heard preachers say it. What justified means is just if I'd never sinned. But I have. Lots. But God forgave me for it. So when God looks at me, He looks at me just if I'd never sinned. Again, and I've been in those classes where they talked about the doctrine of imputation. Basically, the Bible says, and we're going to read these verses in a minute, God took every sin of every person ever, put it on Jesus. And He took Jesus' righteousness because He never, ever sinned, took it off of them and put it on us that did the right thing with Jesus, and we are justified. It's the best I can explain it. But again, we just can't wrap our brain around it. So God forgives our sins and He blots them out like we never did them. I read this the other day and thought it was cool. Micah 7:19, of course, a Bible verse, very cool. I'll tell you the cool part in just a second. All of it's cool. All right. God cast our sins in the sea of forgetfulness is what Micah 7:19 said. In the sea of forgetfulness. In other words, God forgot about it. He took all of our sins, those that have done the right thing with Jesus, took all those sins, threw them in the depths of the sea, the Bible said. And you know what He did after that? He put a no fishing sign up. All right? So nobody can go find them. Nobody's going to be like, oh, and catch your sin. Hey, they are gone. He put them in the depths of the sea and stuck a no fishing sign up. So when we do the right thing with Jesus, we're justified. And the last one we'll look at here. When we do the right thing with Jesus, one day we will be just like Him. Again, something that I can't explain. Something that I just have to accept by faith. Something that we get little glimpses of it. But the Bible says one day we will be just like Him. It's found in John 3:2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. Remember that? We did the right thing with Jesus. God let us be His child. And it doth not yet appear what shall be. I have not seen, ear have not heard. There's a whole lot of stuff going to happen in the future. Then it says here, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Little nugget I'll give you. Right now, we're saved. Right now, we can't go to hell. Right now, we can experience some joy, we can experience some peace, and we can talk about eternal life, and we can talk about this. But right now, all we can do is act like Jesus. That's all we can do. The Bible tells you to play the men, put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, act like a Christian. They were first called Christians here because why? Because they were acting like Him. Nobody is just like Him, but we're all supposed to act like Him. But one day we can get rid of our acting classes and we won't have to act anymore because we'll be just like Him. Right now what we do, if we've done the right thing with Jesus, if we get a temptation to lie, we're like, okay, I'm given this opportunity to lie. But the Bible says, thou shalt not lie. Jesus wouldn't have lied. The Bible says He can't lie. Okay? The devil can. The Bible says He's the father of it. But Jesus can't act like it. So what we have to do is take all the information that we've been given. I'm saved now. I'm a child of God. I want to have joy. I don't want to get under conviction. I don't want to do anything wrong. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to act like Jesus and not lie. But one day, when we're in heaven, and if we do ever get an opportunity to lie, we won't be able to. Because we will be just like Him. And that just blows my mind. Because I've read this verse about when I'm standing before Him and I'm like Him, I'll be satisfied then. And I can't remember which Bible character said that, but they obviously had disappointed the Lord just like I have. And they're looking forward to the fact that one day that I won't ever disappoint Him again. Why? Because I will be just like Him. I will think like Him. I will respond like Him. I will behave like Him. Why? Because I will be just like Him. This is what, if you'll do the right thing with Jesus, one day you'll be just like Him. If you don't do it, obviously you won't even be there that day. So in conclusion, let's look at this. What should I do then with Jesus? That's what Pilate said. What shall I do then with this Jesus, which is called Christ? What do you want me to do with Him? Right. So obviously, if you ever were given the opportunity to be saved, that's what they were saying. Jesus died for you. He paid for your sins. He rose again. And He wants you to accept Him as your Savior. So what should I do with Jesus? Number one, accept Him as your personal Savior. I'll give you a couple verses. These are not as familiar verses as the Romans Road or things like that. 1 Peter 2:24 says this, who, His own self, bore our sins in His body on the tree. So why should we accept Him? Because just like I explained a while ago, that doctrine of imputation, all the sins of everybody in this world was put on Him, on His body, on the tree. Of course, we know the Bible says that God couldn't look at sin. So that's why the earth turned dark during the daytime. That's why the veil of the temple was rent from the top to the bottom. Why? Because all of the sins of the world were put on Jesus, and God couldn't look at Him. Isaiah 53:6 says this, the Lord hath laid on Him the iniquity of us all. 2 Corinthians 5:21, for He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made righteous of God in Him. So in other words, all those verses talk about that substitutionary death. He died in our place. What will you do for Jesus? Or what will you do with Jesus? Mark 10:45. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, to give His life a ransom. And listen to this phrase right here. For many. For many. I thought He died for everybody. He did. But all won't receive. That's why this verse says He gave His life a ransom for many. Those ones that'll say, what will you do with Jesus? I'll accept Him. Praise the Lord, it's many. But there'll be a lot of people, I've had them tell me, you've probably had them tell you, not today, I might do that later, I don't believe in that, I'm an atheist. That's why it doesn't say all. Because a lot of people will be given that opportunity. Hey, what will you do with Jesus? Nothing. Reject. Not believe. So He gave His life for everyone. We saw that in the verse. But only for many will do the right thing. So Jesus paid it all. So the right thing with Jesus to do is accept Him as your personal Savior. And if you do that, you'll have forgiveness. You'll have perfect peace. You'll have joy unspeakable. You'll have everlasting life. You'll become a child of God. You'll be justified. And one day you'll be like Him. Here's our second question. I think and I believe everybody's done the first one. If not, please come do it today. We'll show you from the Bible how you can accept Him. But here's the rest of the story. What will you do with Jesus? I've accepted Him. He gave me forgiveness. He gave me perfect peace. He gave me joy unspeakable. He made me a child of God. He's going to take us to heaven. We're going to be just like Him. But what will you do with Jesus now? Here's the second thing we're supposed to do. Confess Him before men. Confess Him before men. There's a lot of people that have gotten Him as their Savior, but that's where it stops. They don't confess Him before men. Matthew 10:32-33 says this, whosoever, therefore, shall confess Me before men, I will confess also before My Father, which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny Me before men, him will I deny before My Father, which is in heaven. What will you do with Jesus? I've accepted Him, but are you confessing Him? It's up to you. Millions have accepted Him. Millions have rejected Him. Millions are being blessed. Millions will be punished. But there's some that have Him, and they have the forgiveness. They have the perfect peace. They have the joy unspeakable and the everlasting life and being a child of God and justified. and they're going to be like Him one day. And just like I can't explain forgiveness, I can't explain unspeakable joy, I can't explain becoming a child of God and eternal life, I cannot explain why somebody wouldn't confess Him before men. Well, I'm just shy. I'm just an introvert. I just don't get it. I can't keep my mouth shut about Him. So, what are you doing with Jesus? Have you accepted Him? Are you confessing Him before men? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Brother Derek, Miss Tiffany's coming. Let's all stand. First of all, if there's somebody here today, you've not accepted Him, I think you understand the importance of doing that. So please come this morning. I'll take the Bible and show you how you can accept Him and go to heaven. But all of us need to be confessing Him. All of us need to be confessing Him. You need to come and ask God to help you to confess Him. Brother Derek.